Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
On this week's podcast, we talk about Call of Duty, Lords of the Fallen, and Spacehead VJ69. Should we talk about why we're calling you Dickface this week, Jeff?
No.
No, I think we should. So,
I will get you back, by the way. And this, you know this is going to happen.
Have I ever fallen asleep in front of you? Ever?
No, I'm not saying you have to fall asleep. I might just piss all over your bed one time and take pictures of it.
So I had a party to go to, and I do the kindness of inviting Chad. I'm like, hey, Chad, would you like to come? My girl says that there's a nice-looking girl that you would like there. And he texts me, oh, yeah, I'll be right there. So I grab my 12-pack, and I go out into the street, and I sit on my 12-pack for the next 20 minutes. I sit on my 12-pack waiting for this guy to pick me up.
My parking spot is right in front of...
You said driving. Like, so where were you starting from? Temecula?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So I don't think he was driving when he said he was driving, basically. So he picks me up. We go, and he's fucking wasted. He shouldn't be drunk driving in the first place.
I was wasted.
No, he was kind of toasty.
So are we getting to the dick and the face part?
Yeah, eventually. I'm trying to let everybody know why he got this wasted. He was already toasty when we got to the party. And then we started playing a drinking game, which he proceeded to lose. Okay, so there's 12 Mexicans and one white guy.
Yeah.
And he produced...
One attractive white guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, who is he?
Yeah.
So he proceeded to lose the drinking game two times in a row. And he thinks it's a conspiracy. But it's really because he's the most drunk guy there. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And then he won one. And I said, oh, finally, the white people are not oppressed. Anyway, he fucking drinks and drinks and drinks. And, of course, goes and finds a couch and passes out. And we spent the next 45 minutes. Not that it took 45 minutes. It took only 5 minutes. But he kept waking up while the girls drew a real... She started with the shaft, and then she put the balls on. And I said, hey, is that the balls or the head? She goes, those are the balls. I go, okay, you're doing fine then. Because otherwise it would have been terrible. And she finished it. She did a good job. The best part of this story is Chad woke up, left, texted me, hey, do you need a ride home? I didn't respond because I was still sleeping. He went to Jack in the Box to get some breakfast. And the woman there said, what, Chad?
I don't think that happened.
Oh, really? Is that what happened? Sir, you have something on your face. What? Oh, God damn it. And then text me immediately, fuck your ride and fuck you, or something to that extent. So that's how we spent the last couple of days.
Just a typical day down in San Diego.
Yeah. And what was I doing that night?
What were you doing that night?
Probably playing the worst game in the world, Space-Based DF9, but we'll get to that later.
You've put in too much time to say that that's a bad game. It's kind of like I've seen people that give a thumbs down to a game after over 500 hours.
Do you want to get into it? Do you want to know why? I have like 8 hours on that game, and I think it's so bad.
Sure. Well, before you get into that, let me just say, like, I read a lot, or more than a little, but I'm fine putting a book down after 50 pages. If it sucks, if I get through 50 pages and it sucks, I'm putting it down.
Right.
Fuck it. I don't need to read this. Like, if I start playing a game and after 2 hours I'm not having fun, I'm putting it down. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But anyways, continue.
Okay. These cops going to go away? What's going on here? I'm sure that siren showing up loud. Or
they're looking for Dickface. He was driving drunk.
Police sketch of a guy with a dick. anyway, Space-Based DF9, worst game in the world, yes. The reason that I spent so much time playing this game is because I did not want to believe that it was so bad.
Is this the game where it's isometric and you're making a, mm-hmm. Basically a...
Yeah, it's a simulation strategy building game.
I disagree. I haven't played it. I disagree with you, Bobby. There's no way that you're like, I'm digging in this shit. There's no way there's shit all the way down. No. And that's what kept you in.
Well, this game has a complicated history. Let me start at the boring beginning here. This was a Kickstarter by Double Fine, who I love. It takes place in space, which I love. And it's got this quirky, kind of fun, artistic style to it, which I thought was cool. So I thought this was going to be a hit. I read all the reviews on the Early Access Kickstarter months ago, and it said...
boring as shit.
No, it said that, you know, you can only get like 5 hours into it, then everything's just kind of the same, and there's nothing to do. So I thought, okay, I'll wait on this a little while. October 27th, this game officially released, came out of Early Access. People were pissed. The reviews were like 36% positive. Everybody was saying they ran out of money, and they just threw the game out there completely unfinished. The first week this game was out, first week or two, this game had 5 major updates. They were scrambling just to try to make it playable. And when I finally got around to playing it, it wasn't even like the original reviews I had read. The game was buggy. There were glitches. There was just nothing to do. I would go for long stretches of time just waiting for something to happen, and nothing would happen at all. Like, the only way you can increase your population is just to have random people show up and say, hey, can I join your community? And you say, yeah, sure. And
randomly.
Yeah, randomly. And sometimes that doesn't happen for a long time. Sometimes they turn out to be dicks and they attack you. And yeah. So I kept playing this game, and it had other little problems too. Like, it's hard to click on certain things and select them. You have to like play the whole little clicking game where like, nope. Ah, there it is. Got it. And, you know, just little things like that. So I played this game once. Bad run, got killed like maybe an hour and a half in. Bunch of raiders showed up, killed me. I played it again, because usually with these types of games, you play it once, it's a real learning experience. You mess up a bunch, you'd go through it the second time with all that knowledge that you've gained, and you're so much better. So I figured, okay, this is typical. Second round, here we go, let's do it. Played, and same thing, just could not get anywhere for about 3 hours. Then I was like, that's it, this is dumb. This is stupid. I don't want to play this game anymore. And then, like, the next day, I was like, no, fuck it, man. This can't be true. I get on Google. I start Googling stuff. How to increase population. How to get rid of dead bodies. Because when they kill you, the bodies just lay up there. But they eventually released a patch where the doctors came and got rid of it. But sometimes you have people...
Wow, he's fired up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
I don't even know what kind of game this is. What kind of game? You're trying to build a base, right?
By the way, I had the same thoughts with Civ. It's like, okay, this game's not that good, but... I should be able to beat a game that's not that good. Is there a little bit of that? If it's that shitty of a game, I should be able to beat it.
No, this game is completely broken. I played...
And this is still a Double Fine game, right?
Yeah.
Why do they need Kickstarters?
They are nothing but Kickstarters these days.
Because to publish a game, it actually takes a lot of money. Yeah. And if you don't have a lot of money... Yeah. Double Fine will make games, but they don't generally publish them. So if they're into the publishing now...
And they like Ferraris.
Well, I'm just kind of wondering what's up with Broken Age now. Because remember, that was supposed to be a two-parter. Second part was supposed to be out last April. Never saw that. Was it April? I think it was. I bought that game in January. And
that's supposed to come with the second part included, right?
Yeah, you get the second part whenever it comes out. And it's like nobody's even talking about it. So I don't know what's going on with Double Fine. You know, they got a lot of rep because of, you know, Psychonauts and... Monkey Island, back in the day, Tim Schafer, big name.
They're not even kind of fine right now.
Yeah.
They're like...
not even half fine.
Oh.
Okay.
Boo.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was really disappointed. So, here's the funny thing about that. All the reviews are gone. When I checked the reviews, saw all this negative stuff about a week after release, I went back to the Steam page, and all the reviews had like magically disappeared. Couldn't believe it.
Maybe they removed the early access
early
reviews.
Early access reviews.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, most likely. Either that or you're caught in a twilight zone of gaming right now. Every day you have to get up and play this game until you beat it or something.
So terrible game. How many hours did you put into it?
I think
8 or 9.
Wow.
Yeah, and I kept... And like most of that was just me just sitting there with, you know, in strategy games, you can change the speed of the game. You can pause it normal speed or like 2-4x or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That most of the game was me sitting there with like 4x speed, just maxed out, waiting for something to happen.
You're not telling me why you kept going back, dude.
Because I could not believe that this game was this bad.
There's worse games.
Because you know,
there's worse games that you stop playing immediately.
Oh yeah, sure. But you know how when you play a game, especially a game like this, I could have been missing something. There could have been something obvious that I didn't pick up in the tutorial, or like something that I wasn't doing right. That's why I got on Google and I was like, "How do you, you know, get more people? How do you do this?" And like nothing was coming up.
Chad and I just gave each other a look like, "I think our friend's going crazy."
I haven't seen him this animated in a while.
Yeah, he's fired up about.
But something that's bad. Funny that you talk about. Maybe I missed something, because when I get to Lords of Fallen, that's the same thing happened to me in there. Should I go into this? Okay.
All I know is people have been calling it a Dark Souls clone.
And I haven't played the Dark Souls series or Demon Souls series, so I don't know if it is or not. Okay. I've had several of my friends that are big Dark Souls told me, it's like a Capcom version of Dark Souls. Like a little brighter, a little more movement, but it's basically, and let me tell you, I guess I'm not cut out for this kind of game, because I almost quit like 4 times playing this, because it's very punishing, and you have to like learn the pattern, you have to be patient, which I'm not always good at being patient in games. Like the first time I see the pattern, then I want to try to figure out where I can sneak extra attacks in,
right.
Where you just can't do that because your guy moves so slow.
Yeah.
It's got this whole like weight meter or weight thing, so like you can equip whatever weapon you want, but you're slower. If I use a big shield, I can block 90% of the attack, but it's adding an extra 5 kilograms or whatever, so it's like you have to like be very patient. So I played this, you get up to the first boss, and I've died already a couple times just getting to this first kind of boss guy. And so I get through him, and he's tough, and I'm going through all sorts of times. Finally, I kill him, and I'm progressing in. And I talk to my other buddy who's been playing this at work. He's like, "Oh yeah, I just pushed circle and got my my taunt spell out, and I had no problem doing it." I was like, "Circle? Like I've been pushing all the buttons. I'm not getting anything to happen." And apparently, all through the tutorial, they don't explain how to do spells in this game.
Oh, it's just like the Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's just like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
But like they had a tutorial. They up for if I felt like Resident Evil again, push the left stick to move forward. Now take on this boss. It's like, okay, like you didn't tell me how to use spells at all.
Yeah.
Like I just thought that was kind of ridiculous.
So the only benefit for these type of games are when you finally do something, it's like celebration worthy.
But see, that's the thing. I thought it was skirting the line both ways. I never thought it was like, oh, this is a boss fight. Because even the bosses that I fought didn't feel like bosses, just larger minions.
Regular dudes?
Yeah. But then their minions were harder than regular minions. So like you just felt in this weird spot where everything's harder than it should be, but not rewarding as it should be. It wasn't like,
If somebody asked me what's the worst type of game that for Chad, I would say Dark Souls, probably type game.
Because
you get frustrated.
There was things that I like about it. So when you go up to the save point, because there's these save points that are periodically the equivalent of the campfires for Dark Souls, right? So each
but these
time,
are chandeliers or something.
They're like these rock things with spinning. It's like a Capcom version, you know? So it's like instead of a campfire, it's got like rock things. So every time you kill an enemy, your experience meter goes up a little bit. So you've got this little like, so you start at 100%. You kill a guy, then it goes to 104%. So if you kill that guy, you get 104% of it. So every time it ratchets it up. So you can keep that
going
up. You're
getting rewarded for not getting killed.
Not getting killed and not saving, because when you save, it resets your timer down to zero. So it's got a cool kind of mechanic.
That is a really cool mechanic.
So, and you can you can see it. You can, I'm at 125%.
Yeah.
Let me keep going. But if you die, obviously.
Punished.
Yeah, you get really punished.
I would save only when I'm going into a new area.
I was like, fuck this game. I'm saving every time I see one.
Oh, okay.
Like,
for that. Yeah. For that.
The other thing is, so does Dark Souls have, health potions that you can drink? or anything like that?
Yeah.
They've got that stone you can use to heal yourself, and then shards or some sort. Yeah, there's ways to heal yourself.
So the way this game works is...
But they're not abundant.
You have your flask that you can drink 3 times.
Right.
And it only refills when you save. So part of your going through is if you're not getting hit, then you don't need to take your flask, and then you can keep going. And
it is a clone.
Yeah.
For sure, so much.
The graphics were good. From what I've seen from Dark Souls is very dark and moody and atmospheric. Mm-hmm. This was kind of more brighter, very crisp and clean.
Controls good?
I was playing on a controller, so I liked that better. I thought the controls worked better for me using the controller. So I don't know how it would be on a mouse and keyboard. But all in all, like, I think if you like Dark Souls and Demon Souls and the challenge of it, I think this Lords of the Fallen has that. But if Dark Souls doesn't appeal to you, then this game definitely won't appeal to you.
Gotcha.
So, cool. But I hope that you can play this a little bit. Maybe you can play it a little bit, because I really want to know what you think compared to Dark Souls compared to this.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped playing Dark Souls for a reason. It's just I got so frustrated with having to constantly look things up. For Binding of Isaac, I have an app to look shit up, but it's like I don't know why it's better. It's because you don't have to type out this and this and that. I have this app where it's just like, you know, because there's like 500 items. I haven't done it for the new one, but for the old one, and somehow that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But the controls and the mechanics of Binding of Isaac are so simple, you don't have to look any of that. But for the other one, you have to look up what does this mean?
Does Dark Souls have different classes? How does it work for
classes? Different classes, yeah.
So the way this game worked is you picked your magic, and there was three different magic types. One was like a healing cleric sort of one. One was like a rogue stealth sort of one. And one was like a warrior berserking one. But then you can use any weapon that you want with it. So you could, like, the warrior one would start out with a big weapon and a shield, but you could equip the 2 daggers if you wanted and be kind of stealthy. So, like, it puts you into a kind of a role, but only based on what magic you use.
Is it a good thing?
I kind of like that idea, because everything I picked up I could potentially use.
Yeah. But if it was good enough, you would switch over.
Yeah. But they didn't explain the weapons very well and how, like, this weapon's purple. I think this is going to be a better one. And then it does, like, less damage, and you're like, what's going on here?
I think it was only a matter of time before we had a Dark Souls clone.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a massive success.
And
for whatever reason.
I think this is a sequel. Because the way the story starts when you go into it makes it very much seem like you're in the middle of a story right when the game starts. Hmm. So I believe this is a sequel of another title. But we don't have Albie today, so
yeah,
we don't have him checking for us.
There you go. I did not understand any of the story of Dark Souls 2.
Yeah,
they had like a cutscene at the beginning, and then that was it. It's like, you're dead.
And there's this old king, and go ahead.
Some people in armor.
Have fun. Go. Have your fun.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of videos on storytelling and video games, and there's a really good article, I think actually a presentation back at the gaming development conference, like back in June or something like that. And they're talking about how people remember characters more than they do story. Characterization is more important than story. So people don't necessarily remember all these plot details, you know, but they will remember a person.
That's kind of like what they're going for with Overwatch. They're pushing the characters so much. There's no story.
There's a bit of a story.
Like,
oh yeah,
any PvP game is not going to have much of a story. It's just like
it could.
The game is being driven by the other players. That doesn't mean that, like,
that's why none of the MOBAs have a real
story.
But
if you talk a game like Tomb Raider or the Uncharted series from PlayStation, you can really drive story. I think it's harder to do, and I think there's more of a challenge there, and it takes a lot more work to get an active story going, because gaming is about repeating. Like, you take an idea and you build on that and you get more and more, and that's how a good game is developed. You start with a simple idea and it gets more and more complex as you play the game. And that doesn't build to a good story. Like, for example, if you played like God of War, they generally start you off super powerful, and then somehow you lose your abilities. And you start
there's a lot of games like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a common trope in video games.
Right.
Because you want to see, oh, how cool you can be at the end.
Right.
But if you start off that weak little guy like Anakin Skywalker, like, you don't get the idea of how big you can be. So, like, they have to, like, start you big and then diminish
you. They don't have to. They well, think they just, have to.
It's part of the gaming idea that because you have to devote so many more hours to this, too, like, you can't just build them up slowly like you can a movie, because a movie's over in 2 hours, you know? Like, mm-hmm. So,
you know what's weird is, let's say that TF2 is definitely a character-driven game, right? Those characters are larger than life. But there really isn't any story, except for the red fights the blue. That's pretty much all there is.
It's PvP, like, but somehow, you're not gonna get it.
But somehow there's hours and hours and hours of content. I mean, not that much, but there is a significant amount of content for no story, and it's all enjoyable, and it's kind of okay, and everybody just kind of figures it's a ridiculous premise. Red fights blue, and our bases are touching. It's so you can't really come up with. So let's kind of poke fun at it, I guess. Totally okay with that.
Do you guys have a game or whatever that you really think is story driven that you guys really liked?
Probably the Mass Effect series for me.
Yeah.
But there's always a balance between story and gameplay, too. If you have a whole lot of gameplay, then the story's not as strong, or the story will suffer. If you have a whole lot of story, then the actual gameplay will suffer. If you look at the Walking Dead series, it's all story, no gameplay. And that's fine, too, as long as the experience is good.
And on the other side, Hotline Miami, the developers there were pushing the fact that you don't need a good story if you have really good gameplay, and that's what they were pushing there.
But it's kind of, I played that this week too, which I'll get into.
Go ahead. I'm here.
Well, I just wanted to say, as far as story goes, I really liked the Tomb Raider. Like, I thought it was a good balance between gameplay and story. And
I totally agree, Chad.
Character development.
Anybody that doesn't agree with us is foolish. I should be.
Every cliche in the book in that game. Well, it's not like
she
Tomb Raider.
Was hot and had big tits.
Yeah.
The format in Tomb Raider was pretty standard, where you have gameplay cutscene, gameplay cutscene, gameplay cutscene, and
it was done well.
No, but I mean, that's fine if you're going to do it that way. But it works better, like maybe in The Last of Us, where something is more serialized as opposed to a three-act story structure. Usually in a three-act story structure, you spend the first act getting to know your characters. Second act is the conflict. Third act is the resolution. Everything gets wrapped up. Serialized is more like a TV show, where you have characters just weaving in and out of the story. And what they found through, like, studies, I think Microsoft did the study, is that people get to know the characters and they remember the characters, but they don't remember what they do. You can't say, okay, in the fifth level of The Last of Us, Joel did this and that and that. No, you don't remember that. You don't remember the specifics. You remember Joel's personality and how...
And his emotions.
Yeah, and like, what kind of person he
is. Dude, before you said serialized, I thought you were saying, like, Tomb Raider isn't that serial. Like, I totally thought you were making a South Park joke. Sorry.
So, to me, it sounds like video games are more like TV shows, where at the start of the half hour, there's something that happens, and then chaos happens, and at the end, somehow everything's back to normal. You know, like some dude loses his job or gets kicked out, but somehow at the end of the episode, it's back to normal, so they can start that same thing again. It sounds kind of like that's what Last of Us is kind of like.
Well, I think of it more being like these new TV shows where you have the story arc goes across the entire season, and maybe each episode has a little arc, but really it's like a 14-hour movie that's split up into chunks.
And you can see how difficult story is when you play any sort of game that's based on a movie, because they have to come up with all sorts of crazy things that people go in and suddenly you've got to collect 6 crystals that were never in the movie, because you just need to find ways to add gameplay to a story, you know?
Let's just agree that a great, great story can support a game. Great gameplay can support a game. And right in the middle is okay, too. As long as, like, there's not DBS 9 or whatever the fuck you were playing. Like,
Space
flaws.
Space 9.
Yeah. You know, there is no right answer here.
Yeah.
You can go, some people like more story games. Some people more like action-y games. So,
I don't know.
Isaac has no story. No real story.
It does, a little
it's
bit.
It's a cutie. It has a premise.
Yeah, it has a premise.
I think what I've noticed about a lot of stuff, all these videos and things, articles that I've been reading, is that I try, whenever a game gives me a big story, I try to take it all in and understand it and remember it all. And I don't know. I don't know if it's even worth it because you never remember that. As good as Mass Effect was, it's been almost 2 years since I played it. And as good as that was, I still have trouble remembering all the details about that.
Yeah.
You know, but because I remember the characters.
I think video games are closer to books when it comes to story than TV shows because you're talking about 12 hours of gameplay for even just a normal size video game. Yeah. 12 hours of gameplay
right. Is
like there's just so many more steps that get involved. It's like you can remember a 4 digits, but you can't remember 9 digits of a phone number or whatever because there's just too many to remember. Right. That's how I feel about.
And a lot of it is in the description. Like in the book, you can have a whole page on a description of what a room looks like, and a lot goes into just the backgrounds of some of these games. Where you're like, wow, that looks really cool. But you just walk right past it, you know, and just kind of forget about it. But it took so long to do. Anyway, what'd you think of Hotline Miami?
I liked it, sort of.
Did you finish it?
No, I didn't finish it. It's on my list of things to finish. I'm not sure I'm into the perfectionist games right now, and that's kind of what I felt like this game was. Because
only perfection.
Yeah, because if you screw up,
you're fucked.
You're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're trying to be stealthy and you get discovered, you might be able to shoot the dude before, you know, he kills you.
Right.
But it's basically a perfectionist game. Like, you've got to basically do the level perfectly how you set up.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's lots of different ways to do
it. In the way of, like, Super Meat Boy is a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. Yeah, because if you screw up once, you're dead, basically.
Right, right, right. Okay.
And they encourage you in that game to really just...
go balls out.
Yeah. Do it quickly. They don't really want you. And it doesn't work too well if you try to sneak around and take people out and, you know, use walls to shoot.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that.
And
don't try stealth. Go
chaos. Like, resets really quickly, which is nice.
Which is nice.
Like... So it's kind of like, it's a trial and error, sort of like, oh, let's do this, no, let's try this, no, let's do this, okay, that's how you get through. Like, the graphics are cool in their 8-bit sort of style, but I'm kind of over the 8-bit now.
Yeah,
and when this came out, you know, this has been out for a couple of years.
Right.
When it came out,
it was novel.
It was novel, but at this point, so many people have copied it that it kind of goes back
to...
The music was cool.
Yeah.
The wearing the different masks is kind of, and it's kind of like it doesn't have a lot of a story, but
it's
story
weird.
That it has is dark. Like it shows the first time you kill and then you throw up.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at the very beginning? Like, and it's talking about your girlfriend that left you or whatever. And so it's got like this kind of like if you pictured yourself as a hired killer, like these are kind of the things that I could picture myself happening to me to get me to this thing.
So. I think it's kind of a dark Donnie Darko type thing where, for me, it's weird for the sake of being weird, and there's not really a message in it. And they talk about it. The developers talk about how they're real. You'll beat the game and you'll be like, "What the fuck?" There really isn't a message, and there really isn't a reason except for giving a scaffolding for the gameplay.
Yeah, gotcha.
Is
there a reason it's called Hotline Miami? Do they explain why it's called Hotline
Not
Miami? Because he takes a phone call every time he goes out on a mission.
Yeah, so there you go.
And then it's but, 80s, so Miami.
Yeah, so it's got to be in Miami.
It's funny, all of the 80s took place in Miami.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm kind of disappointed that Hotline Miami 2 looks like just more of the same stuff. I mean, I don't know what I expected them to do with it, but just more content doesn't really excite me.
How cool would it have been if they had done the GTA tact, and when they had done Miami 2, Hotline Miami 2, it would have gone third person, like straight GTA.
That
style.
Hasn't worked too well.
That would have ended up being
the Bureau.
Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, look at the Bureau with XCOM.
Nobody touched that, right?
Yeah, well it got horrible reviews and it was a horrible game, but they took a chance on XCOM Enemy Unknown. I think the story goes that publishers like didn't believe in it, but they went ahead and released it, and it did really well, and the whole time they were saying, no, this has got to be like a different kind of game, and then the Bureau was the game that the publishers wanted the whole time. They released it, and it was shit. So
yeah.
Fuck publishers, fuck producers. Let the artists do what they want.
As the other thing that I thought that was kind of like interesting in Hotline Miami is every time after you do a mission, you kind of like go into like a video store. Or
oh yeah, so weird, right?
Like, mm-hmm. And they are like very respectful to you, yeah. And like there was.
And then you kill them, all right, if you want.
Oh, spoilers! Thanks. Were we just talking about this last week?
Sure.
Yeah. So, but you can get Hotline Miami pretty cheap these days. And mm-hmm. how many hours of gameplay do you think is that?
10?
6? I don't know. Depends on how many times you start over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I would recommend it. It's, you know, it's a top-down, I would almost say roguelike, in that if you
it
screw
is,
up,
in a way.
You kind of just die and yeah. restart the level.
Except for there's no progression in between deaths, except yeah. for knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that game when I first played it, but then I came back months later, played it, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I just had and I talked about this many, many, many podcasts ago, but the ending really pissed me off. Because the whole time I'm trying to, should I spoil it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fine. You know how I am about spoilers.
So,
he just takes
yeah, you're not bad at
it. Just give him screenshots. He's all good.
You know, this whole time is really like intriguing, kind of like what's going on here type thing.
Yeah, there's like four like
crazy?
Bosses. Like when you first start off, there's like four
oh, yeah,
bosses.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, is my character crazy? Are they crazy? What exactly is going on here? And at the end, there's just like, you go into the development studio. It's breaking the fourth wall. You talk to the developer. Your character talks to the developer correctly. Directly. And he's like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, not much. He's like, well, where's the ending of the game? And he's like, fuck you, man. The developer's like, and then you're like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you had fun and you didn't really need an ending. And I'm like, you know what? And another game had just done that to me. Mm-hmm. What's the one where my
little Inferno?
Yeah, he remembers. That's why I keep this guy around. I was so fired up because at the end of My Little Inferno, which is a stupid game about burning things that I beat, that tells you how stupid I am.
Was that the one where you had like a fireplace?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Drop stuff? Little,
yeah, yeah. So I beat that game.
And you were sending notes across the like.
Yeah, every once in a while you would get a note from somebody outside of your house, and you were there just burning different things and stuff. I can't recommend it. But at the end of that game, it's like, go out and play. Get out of your house. I'm like, fuck you, man. I just spent like 6 hours beating this game. And then right after that, the end of my Hotline Miami.
I think that goes back to our story conversation where, like, games don't necessarily have to be story, but
yeah,
you gotta put it in some sort of package.
Well, Hotline Miami was building you up. It was being very vague and not explaining a lot of things. And
it was misleading.
Yeah, you were kind of expecting a little bit of an explanation at the end right. that never came. And I thought it was kind of funny, honestly, because I think a lot of people too invest too much in the mystery.
This guy.
If you watch, you know,
Lost never gives you a really good
Yeah, exactly. Answer. I was just about to bring up J.J. Abrams and a stupid mystery box TED Talk.
Oh, but it's stupid when J.J. Abrams does it.
No, I love that anybody. TED Talks. That's a great TED Talk.
Well, he talks, I mean, basically, the idea is that people like to be surprised. He talks about the mystery box. And a lot of J.J. Abrams' work is
what
like
he
that.
Said was, it. A lot of people like the mystery more than the reveal.
Yeah, exactly. But see, that's, people don't know that, though. They don't know that they like the mystery more than the reveal.
But I think an important fact that he doesn't talk about is, you only like the mystery more than the reveal when you get the reveal. If you never get the reveal, that's like jerking off and never finishing. Like, yeah. Even if the jerking off is the better part.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think that's what J.J. Abrams is saying. Because if you look at his shit, you know, Lost, people hung on to that for the longest time. They finally got an ending, and guess what? It didn't live up to like 6 years that the show was on.
Yeah, but like, Lost is like a...
That's a hard thing to finish.
Lost is a weird thing because they had like six different writers, and there was all these hands involved in the pot, and... The first two seasons, they were purposely trying to go as out as possible. Obviously, they weren't going to be able to wrap everything up. They purposefully were trying to fuck with people. And so, like, when it got popular, like, now you got to try
well,
to
we could get
that.
Lost in that
yeah,
section.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's just let it go.
Well, I'm just saying, apply that to video games. Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2. the reason people like that story so much is because you don't know what it's all about. That's why people want Half-Life 3. They want some sort of conclusion. As soon as they get that conclusion, they're going to throw a fucking shit fit, dude.
I don't like the story. I don't think there is a story.
It's not a very good story. It's a mystery, and people love a mystery.
Well, the only thing that I like... a mystery? I thought, like, the very beginning, like...
Yeah, what's the relation of G-Man with the aliens? You know, why is he behind this? What's happening with that?
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
The only thing that I like about the story is that the first aliens were running from the second aliens. From part two.
Spoilers! Gosh.
That's going to get terrible.
Alright, sorry.
Okay, so I played a game that I actually liked, and I'm going to talk about it. I like a
well, let's
games,
be honest, you like every game. Bobby hates every game.
I've been more negative.
And this streak has been going on.
Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and I want to say that I've only played one Call of Duty before this. It's not really something that I do. I feel like this is a 2014 game, and
in a good way, though, right?
In a good way, yeah. It's modern. It cuts no corners. It looks great. The UI is awesome. The story's cool. They brought in great Kevin Spacey's doing voice acting. How much better can you get than that? The immersion for me was. I think that might be one of the most important factors for me in a game that takes itself seriously. Is immersion. And sure, I'm not a future fucking soldier with a prosthetic arm made of titanium and filled with fucking, I don't know, godlike abilities. But if I were, I was like, oh, this would be a future base. This is exactly what a future base would look like. And that's what those dudes would be doing over there. And this sign would be right here. And so I was completely immersed. I mean, obviously, I don't think that I'm that. But had...
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. I do wake up sometimes like, I still have fucking super arm. That's almost every day, actually. Yeah. And so, the immersion was there. There was enough new mechanics where I was like, well, I'm not like cynical and like, oh, been here, done that before. Sure, it's a first-person shooter. You're aiming and shooting people in the head as much as you can. But they polished it up enough. And it's nice around the edges, and they put in a nice package, and I like it more than the 74 that PC Gamer gave it. But I've only played it for maybe an hour and a half.
And you've only played single player.
Right, but that's the big selling point on the Call of Duty games, I think, right? Or at least 50% of it.
A lot of people play multiplayer.
Yeah, a lot of people only play multiplayer.
But how many Call of Duty games
do you play? More so than Battlefield.
I agree. Call of Duty has a much better single-player story traditionally than Battlefield.
Does. Yeah. Battlefield's all... Back in the day, Battlefield didn't even have a single-player.
Yeah.
In some of the earlier games.
Yeah.
But how many Call of Duty games have you played? Because I think the problem here with that PC Gamer has is we've had Call of Duties like for the last 12 or 13 years, I think.
Yeah.
And generally, they're all pretty much the same, even though they're very different now, but... You know, when the first one came out, like, so long ago, I mean, that was a big deal. It looked great. It was, like, you know, a AAA title that everybody enjoyed. You know, the next year when the next one comes out, oh, great thing. Same, you know, it's got to get old after a while. I've only played two and a little bit of Ghosts.
What's the game where the nuke goes off in France at the beginning? Is that Battlefield?
No, it's Battlefield.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And the Eiffel Tower collapses.
Yeah. So the last Call of Duty I played was the one where... you're storming Normandy, so that's a long.
You didn't play the one where, which is the one where you start off in space? Was that a Battlefield also? No, that was a Call of Duty.
That was.
I didn't play that one.
No, that was Ghosts.
That was Ghosts.
Yeah,
that's right.
You see, I played Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. The titles are so fucking.
Yeah, fuck them all. I feel like the same game comes out every year.
Yeah.
Well,
it was Call of Duty, Warfare. Then it was Call of Duty Modern Warfare, then it was Call of Duty, then it was Modern Warfare, Black Ops, and then Black Ops 2, and then Ghosts, and then, it's a mess.
Yeah.
But I played Modern Warfare, the first one, liked that game.
That was my favorite Call of Duty
game. That was a really good one. That's like a 6-hour game. That's one of the few games I've actually replayed.
I'm sorry, which one?
Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Okay. 4 Modern Warfare.
I really like Black Ops.
That was the one that... I think most people would say that would be the quintessential Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
It was like Call of Duty at its peak.
Yeah, and I never played the single player. I only played the multiplayer. But I love that Call of Duty because it felt like the same rush I got from playing Ice World back in the day with Counter-Strike. Right. Like, where I could sit there and play the same map for 6 hours and not get bored, and every time was fun and interesting. Yeah. That's how I felt with that.
Yeah. Well, the next Call of Duty I played was Black Ops 2, and that was a long stretch of time between Modern Warfare and Black Ops 2, and I really liked Black Ops 2. And that had You did?
Yeah.
That had a little bit of a futuristic thing, too. It jumped around the timeline a little bit.
What year is it supposed to be in this advanced?
So it's
warfare. What is it? Advanced warfare.
Man, I would guess it's about.
Oh, they did
20. Maybe they did, or I missed it. I would guess it's about 20 to 30 years.
Okay.
Because there's some really cool mechanics. There's a mine you can put down that kind of warps time for like 2 seconds. So you put it down, it blows up, and it's
like slow mo, like bullet time.
Bullet time is what it is. But the way they do it, it feels novel. And there's this other grenade that you throw into a room, and it shows you where everybody else is in the room, and you could just kill them through the wall. And that's really cool and satisfying. The guns are really, I feel like they're diverse and they're satisfying. I mean, you could still pick up the AK and be like, and have your old school feel.
Maybe so they have ones like AKs? Not everything is modern.
Yeah. Well,
are they still using bullets or are there laser beams?
There's a combination. The Koreans...
Bullet lasers.
Because the enemies in this one is the North Koreans, right?
It's the North Koreans. So they're using the AKs. They're not AKs, but they're not advanced. They're
like 16s or
whatever. Yeah, whatever they are. The grenades are novel as well, where you like throw it. It becomes a bouncing Betty in the air. You guys would know what that is? Mm-hmm. And then from there, it detects where the nearest enemy is. And heat seeks into it. And then there's a gun that shoots these as its rounds. And that was really cool. I'm seeing a lot of stuff that I haven't seen before. Not way out there like, whoa! But enough to where I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. The story might seem contrived, but it's a fucking story about war.
Yeah.
Your buddy's going to die, and you're going to go...
Did I say that?
Chad walks in the first 5 minutes, he goes... Is that guy named Will Irons? And I was like, yeah. He's like, he's going to die. And fucking not 5 minutes later.
The intro story is like, I joined the Marines. Me and my buddy over here.
Yeah.
This guy, Will, he's the coolest guy ever.
And it's like, close up on the faces because they're stroking each other off.
Yeah.
And,
of course.
And it turns out, and here's the important part. Will Irons' father is leader of a... it's not a nation, it's a mercenaries.
Okay.
But they're more powerful than any country.
Like, what is it, Blackwater?
Yeah, Blackwater, right. Who changed their name like 6 times this year. But anyway, yeah, it's like Blackwater, but they're more powerful than most nations, and any nation can hire them. And he goes, why don't you come work with us? My son told me what a good soldier you are. And you wake up and you got this new artificial arm.
Because it got blown off.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes, and I thought this was a really good line. I don't know why it stuck with me. He goes, you know, his arm's malfunctioning. He goes, that arm is more important to me than this entire, worth to me more than this entire base. And you're like, okay, whatever. Then you start working around this base and there's fucking all kinds of, the base, that's what the immersion I was talking about. This base seemed alive to me. All the bit actors in the backgrounds were doing drills and all that stuff seems real. In other games, you're like, oh, that's obviously, but you kind of feel like if you were to leave and come back, they'd be doing other things, even though they wouldn't be. But you just kind of get, I got sucked into it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah. Call of Duty is a polished experience. Their stories do tend to be a little weird sometimes. Not weird, just hack. Like, same thing with
the. But again, how much can you push a soldier story?
Yeah.
There's no girls. So you can't have love. You know, I mean, you could do it, but it's not going to come...
It feels contrived, like... The stories always feel like you're becoming more important without cause. Like, all of a sudden, like, you're... Like, for example, in the intro movie, they said he's been here for 6 months, never been involved in active duty, and yet... The dude at the beginning is like, oh, you and Will Powers or whatever, Will Irons, go, you're leading the charge.
Iron Will.
And you're like, okay, why isn't the grizzled guy that's been on 80 missions
telling
me to shut the fuck up
right.
and hump that fucking hill up ahead. Like, why are we thrust into the leadership role? Like,
I think it just tends to be a little predictable, like an action movie, like those often are. In Modern Warfare, one of the guys you play a few different characters, but mm-hmm. one of the guys you play dies halfway through the game. Like, he just gets blown up. Yeah, he gets blown up by an atomic bomb, and it's a really great level because they don't, you don't know that you're going to die. It's not just like a cutscene, you're dead. Like, an atomic bomb goes off, and you're crawling away. And at first when I played that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make it away. I'm the main character. Of course I'm going to get out, and then just screen fades to black. And then it goes to, you know, the end of the level screen says deceased. It's like, oh, shit, that dude's dead. You know, that was unpredictable. That's, like, atypical of these types of games. But every other Call of Duty is just like, you know, everything's just so cheesy.
I think a couple of things are working really in this game's favor for me is, one, I don't have a story-driven... I don't have a real first-person shooter that I'm playing. I have Borderlands, but it's not... Borderlands is Borderlands. It's mm-hmm. not a Half-Life game. It's not your quintessential first-person shooter. It's more like a dungeon crawler almost.
So, yeah, it's open
or whatever
world.
It is.
It's open world as opposed to...
Not that it's bad. Yeah, it's
open Call of Duty is very traditional in a sense.
And I don't have that right now. And I haven't played one in quite some time. So it's feeling that... and it's also... I haven't played any Call of Duties in a while. So I think that this game has both of those things going for it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really enjoying it. I don't know what more to say on that one.
Okay.
All right.
What else have we been playing?
Goat?
I've been playing a couple little games. So I had the opportunity to play a couple games that I don't own and just play them and give them a go. So I thought I'd just kind of give you kind of my thoughts on a couple of these games. So I already talked about Hotline Miami. Another World. So Another World is a game from way back in the day, and Bobby probably knows more about this than I do.
I think I played it.
It's a game. It was one of the first, like, kind of games, right?
PC 2D.
Yeah.
Highly stylized.
Yeah, and basically...
I feel like we overuse the term highly stylized.
Well, this
what
is...
doesn't fit into your standard cookie cutters, then that's what you say.
It looks like it was...
And you sound cool when you say it, too.
It looks like it was hand-drawn before they could do hand-drawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like... It looks like it would be hand-drawn, but they made it out of pixels. So they've done a 20th anniversary remaster of Another World, and you can get this on Steam.
Did they smooth out the pixels?
Yeah. So one of the things they did is they smoothed it out, and you can actually change it to the original to smoothed out on the fly.
Kind of like binding.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you can change it on the fly. But this game is... So if you screw up, you're dead, basically. And so you start off and you go into this world from some accident. So you end up in this world. And right, it starts you off and you spawn in, basically, and you're underwater. And the desk you were working on is sinking and you're sinking with it. So I'm just kind of watching. I thought we're still in a cutscene or whatever. Uh-huh. And I just continue to sink and I die.
Yeah.
Like right off the bat, before I even pressed any buttons. So then I'm like trying to figure out, okay, so I got to... push up to go up out of the water.
Yeah.
So I climb out of the water, and you're kind of just sitting, staring there, and you basically have left and right. So you go one way, you immediately die. Okay. So now it starts you in the water again. You push up.
Yeah, right.
Then you go the other way.
Yeah.
So if you go enough, if you make enough choices right, it starts...
It starts
letting you go further and further ahead.
It's like Space Ace or Dragon... What's the other one?
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer, yeah. But not quite as twitchy, not as
like the original QuickTime event games.
Yeah, pretty
sort
much.
Sort of. Yeah.
But slower paced.
But it's kind of weird because it doesn't really have checkpoints. It just is like, okay, I can only remember three screens.
Right.
So if you can get further than that, I'm going to forget these ones and assume you did it correctly. You know? Like, I'm pretty sure
which is exactly what it was.
Yeah. But there's like aliens with guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. And your guy can't talk because this was before anything such as voice acting or anything like that. So it's got to do it all kind of visually. And so it's kind of got interesting and I was kind of having fun with it. But games have just progressed beyond this, you know?
Right.
And so it kind of feels like...
Like, you won't play this again, but it was cool to look at a,
yeah,
something from the past.
Exactly. It was kind of interesting to see where we come from, to see kind of, oh, this is kind of what they're pulling from, or we still do this, or we don't do this anymore. We've grown past it. So
right.
I kind of got, you know, I didn't play it very long. I played a couple hours, but
yeah,
it was fun. It was interesting.
I don't think anybody's ever beat that game. I know we're going to get some mail on that one, but
I'm sure the original Another World, because Another World is kind of, it's a game that's been referenced
A
bunch of times. It's one of the original PC games.
How have you
games.
Not played this? And how have I not played that skiing game? Because I feel like this is... The graphics you just saw were out when that skiing game was out.
Ski Free?
Yeah, Ski Free.
Mid-90s? Early 90s?
I want to say.
I think Ski Free was actually copyright 91.
Oh, Dust. I thought that said Rust.
So, what else did I play? Oh, I played Dust and Elysian...
Tail. Right.
I played a couple hours of that as well. I had never played it before because I didn't have a controller before, and it was a controller only game.
Right.
I like the art style, kind of very like.
How could you not?
Yeah, it's very cartoon, not like Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah,
style.
Yeah. Well, Japanese-ish.
Yeah,
it's not anime though. Wouldn't say it's anime, but it's definitely got some Asian influence
for sure.
Well, he's got the hat that covers. Yeah. You know, he's got that kind of thing. You know, humorous. The voice acting was good. Mm-hmm. Gameplay is decent. It didn't blow me away as far as gameplay is concerned. You know, it's a 2D. It's a 2D kind of, not really a platformer. I guess it's a 2D platformer.
I think that's what it's fair to say.
It's not much of a... There's really no platforms. It's more of a brawler, kind of side-scroller brawler.
Yeah, side-scroller
brawler. It does have some platforming levels, though, like some of the boss fights.
Yeah, and it has RPG elements. You got to do quests, complete quests, go back to the base.
A lot of items,
yeah. So it was fun. It didn't, like, capture me. I didn't say, oh, I gotta sit down and play this through.
Right.
But it was fun, and I think...
The combat looks great.
See, yeah, I love the ending on this game, though. I really like that.
How long of gameplay is this?
Is it worth 6 or 7 hours?
Is it worth, if I have it to go through and play it?
I would. It's got a great soundtrack, too.
Yeah, it does. It does. The soundtrack is really... Yeah.
Even to the point where Bobby played it on the piano, and it's on his YouTube channel if you want to check that out.
And that's a song from the end credits, which is a really good one. But I really like the ending on this one. I don't know. I feel like you gotta beat a game before you give your final judgment on it, especially if you're going to talk about the story. Because the ending, there's really nothing to spoil here, but it's very sad yet uplifting in a way.
And if you watch Bobby's video of him playing this, a little tear drops while he's playing it. If you zoom in.
All right, so I played Dust and Elysian Tail, and then I also played this other game called Escape Goat 2. And the reason... So, I went to PAX a couple months ago, right. And this is one of the games that
they... Is there one coming up?
It comes out in September, so it's...
Okay.
Escape Goat 2?
No, PAX.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's a...
Keep up, dude.
There is a PAX New York that just happened, I think, as well. Anyways.
Okay.
Threw
you off. Escape Goat 2.
It is a platformer puzzle game. Okay. You play as a goat, and you've got double jump and also dash.
Okay.
And you have to, like, hit... You have to, like, hit... you have to hit... switches and stuff to go through.
Is this good enough to start keep wasting my time with this?
You know what?
It's fun if you like puzzle games, I would recommend it, but if you're not into puzzle games, then no.
Now, I haven't played 2, but I did play and beat 1. And
I'm so disappointed right now.
It actually is kind of a unique experience. Right, it's like a platformer, but it's got a little bit of Super Meat Boy in it where you've got
This one or Space Base DB9?
DF9?
Yeah, my bad.
You're fucking up every time.
You guys are like old people with your names, dude. Like my grandpa, he gets everything wrong. We had a dog named Rookie. He called it Ricky. Like my sister's name is Christy. He called her Chrissy. Like he just, I don't know if he was just trying to like fuck with people.
Cause I think you get to that age and you just give zero fucks at that point.
Yeah,
right?
You're just like, yeah, fuck it. I got a few letters right.
It's close enough.
So anyways, Space Race 2000 or...
Space DF9. I think we've already established that that game is the worst thing that ever happened.
Did you like...
9 hours of terrible shit.
Would you give Escape Goat 2 a go?
Oh yeah, I totally would. I've actually been waiting for a deal on this. I had a 50% off coupon, but that still wasn't low enough. It's not an amazing game, but yeah. You know, you're right. If you do enjoy these kind of things...
I'm sorry, I based it on its cover.
But yeah. No, it looks very pixelated and like a Nintendo game, but...
It's made by just one or two person. It's like one of those kind of games.
But I don't know what game it was, but...
It's a decent puzzle game. Like, it really is. It's like a little bit of Super Meat Boy, maybe even some Bomberman in there. Does it have the mouse in Escape Goat 2? It does? Okay. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I don't know. It's worth it. You can get Escape Goat 1 for like $1 on sale. Like, it's... I don't know if it is like a high recommendation, but... I don't know. If you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, then yeah.
You'd have some fun if you like puzzles with Escape Goats.
Cool. Should I hold Grimrock till next week? Probably, huh? Maybe you'll get a time
to play. If you got a lot to say on it, maybe then.
Well, I mean, it's a really good game.
I kind of want to hear about Titanfall.
Get into it, Bob.
All right, let's talk about Titanfall.
With the snicker and the laugh.
Yeah.
I really like Titanfall. How about that?
Wow.
I think the hype has finally passed, and now I can just enjoy it for what it is. But I don't know if
and
this
what is
going
it?
It's a...
No, I mean like...
Like, people don't know what this game
is. No, I don't mean that. I mean like, what is it to you? You can just enjoy it for what it is.
Wait,
which
so what you're saying is, when other people liked it, you couldn't like it. But now that they don't like it, you can like it. That's what I just heard.
That's not what I said. That's how you perceived.
I think he said, now that people don't care anymore, he can just go in and just enjoy it for, you know.
Are you going to say that when games are just over-advertised and shoved down your throat that you aren't a little bit, like, tired of it by the time you play it? Like, if you play it right at the beginning?
I think no matter what's going on,
Amira loves it.
Okay.
Need more.
Wow.
What do you call this, Titan?
That's why I'm for a roommate. Because he loves everything.
You guys should have bought this game. I got it on Amazon for $10.
Yeah,
really should have grabbed it. This would be great to play with other
people. Are people still playing online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still got a pretty good community. I haven't had trouble getting into a game yet. And they have a single player mode where you just fight off like five waves of titans and enemies. And I've been spending most of my time playing that mode as opposed to the player versus player, which is unusual for me. But as suspected, that got old really quick. Just the attrition mode, the hard point, which is where you have to hold points.
So one of the complaints I heard about this was there's bots there, and so it doesn't feel like you're having to have skill because you can just pick these bots off.
Yeah, they aren't worth nearly as much points, though. If you kill them, then you get a few points, like in attrition mode, and you get you reduce the time it takes for your Titan to come. The most annoying part about them is at first glance, you know, it's pretty easy to tell a bot from a real player, like right away. But still, there's that half second, quarter second that it takes you to differentiate.
Shooter, that could be the difference between
life. Yeah, it totally is. In a fast paced shooter, that makes the difference.
Well, I'm of the opinion if bots are going to be a main part of your game, you got to have great AI. Like if your game's all about multiplayer and you're putting bots in there, you gotta have great multiplayer.
Unless you're playing a fucking MOBA, which they have zero AI.
Well, I mean,
but in a game like this,
they are basically just targets in this game. They are zero threat. They can kill you. They're
like
even less threatening than creeps. Like they are, you can just run past them. You can not even pay attention. Most people that have played this game a lot, I've noticed, don't even pay attention to them. They go straight for you. Unless there's nobody else around.
It's kind of like chat at a party.
Yeah.
And girls just walk on by.
Yep.
they have the
dick on my face.
And doesn't know it.
God damn. I can never go to that Jack in the Box. Thanks a lot.
Hey guys, dick face is here again.
God damn it.
Maybe they wouldn't recognize you without the...
they know me by name. So.
Anyway, they know he comes in the dick car already. They named that.
Anyways.
One thing that people were complaining about on this, well, some people were, was the smart pistol in this game. And this is new. I haven't seen this in a game before. The smart pistol, it has this giant reticule that you just have to get people in for maybe a second, two solid seconds. You have to keep them in this large targeting area. And then once you have that, you can just pull the trigger and the bullet goes automatically to them. So for...
Is it a one-shot kill?
On some bots, yes. But on actual players, it's three shots. But that just means you have to hold the sights on them for longer.
Okay.
Yeah, not 6 seconds, but just like maybe, I don't know, 3 seconds. So what people tend to do, myself included, because it's so fucking easy, is you just load this thing up and you just bounce around. There's a lot of vertical combat. You can run up walls and like double jump and get around real easy.
How does that feel, by the way?
It's good. It makes it, yeah. It actually is done very well. A lot of games where they allow you to climb up walls, like some of the Alien games, or even
Assassin's Creed.
Not Assassin's Creed. No, what's the one where you're the
Prince of Persia?
No, the player versus player.
Super Mario.
The disappointment on his face. Yeah.
Smurf.
You know the asymmetric for PvP game, the one where it's the aliens versus the Marines.
Colonial Marines.
No.
What is the rapist for 1,000?
The one where you have a commander.
Oh, natural selection.
Natural selection. Like that, climbing up on the walls, really difficult. I don't know why I had so much trouble with it. It took me a long time. It's really hard to like climb the wall, scale the wall, shoot at someone at the same time. Titanfall, you can do all this very easily. The mobility is very easy in this game. But when you have the smart pistol, all you do is just jump around, make yourself a hard target, and keep your sights somewhere in the vicinity of this guy, and then just... You know, once it blinks red, pull the trigger.
So everybody running around with smart pistols?
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it always a pistol? I always get most pissed off about the pistol. There's like something shaming about I'm holding some like AK M16 thing and I'm getting killed by a pistol. Like there's an
extra. Deagle can always one-shot you.
Yeah, well, there's like an extra. That's why I think the Deagle is always popular, because it's like, damn, I just killed you with the pistol.
Well, usually pull a pistol out when you're out of your primary ammo.
Yeah, exactly. But you're not doing that in this game.
No, but this is the smart pistol. They have a primary weapon and a secondary. The smart pistol counts as your primary because it's so overpowered, or at least good. But the weapons in this game feel totally unbalanced. Like, they're just guns that nobody uses. Like...
Has there not been any work on this game since the patch? Because I'm hearing the same complaints I heard on launch day.
I don't think they're really focusing on changing a lot of the gameplay, but they're adding content. They have a season pass, and they're adding new maps and different modes and stuff like that. I haven't got the season pass yet. The player versus the PvE mode, the one where you just fight off waves of bots, that's new. And that's a huge improvement, if you ask me. Like, that's really what the game needed. Like I said, I'm spending more of my time playing that mode than the PvP.
You just said how shitty the bots are, but you have fun killing them?
When there's nobody else around. Like, they really just get in the way in the PvP. They kind of just get in the way.
But in PvE,
when you're fighting off waves of them, yeah, they're a challenge. Because they get titans, too, and they get different kinds of titans. Some of them are nuclear titans. You have to protect this harvester, and they try to attack it and blow it up, and you got to fight them off. And they give you a turret every round. And the different kinds of titans are actually pretty entertaining. Like, there's one that's just a nuclear one that just runs up and blows itself up. They got these suicide bomber specters and shit. Like, there's a good variety of enemies. And it'd be a great game to play together, but
actually, we should have picked it up for $10.
Yeah.
So how are the titans, though? Do they feel...
That's the Jihad Titan you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
So, because we were playing, what was that? What was the mech game that we were playing that we were Hawking?
Yeah, and you know what? I like the Titans. Fun. This feels like what Hawking and MechWarrior was trying to do. MechWarrior was just a little too much. Hawking, I didn't like either of those mech games.
I really like.
I'm not a big fan of mech combat, but this one totally worked. Like, it felt pretty balanced. Like, you weren't invincible, and you can get three types of mechs. Titans. You can get, like, you know, the quick one with all the dashes but not a lot of armor, then the medium one, and then the heavy one. And you can change out the guns, and they didn't overdo it on a lot of the equipment.
So you're playing a PvP map. Does everybody get a go at the Titan?
Mm-hmm. You get a Titan in 3 minutes. The more people you kill, the more time. Like, if you kill someone, it says -2 seconds for a bot. If you kill an actual player, I don't know, it's like -6. So you're chipping away at that timer. And you can get your Titan sooner.
And once you get it, you're like, Yeah, 30 seconds of ape shit.
You've got a really big advantage, but you're not invulnerable. Like, you still have to play cautious, even against other players. I mean, they can jump on you and, like, do damage that way and try to pull you out.
Do you feel like you're better on foot or in the Titan?
Oh, definitely with the Titan.
Yeah.
It's like an extra...
No, you personally.
Oh, me? I don't know. With the pistol...
with the god pistol?
With the smart pistol, yeah. Sometimes I still prefer that. But the reason you want to get your Titan is because you want to take out the enemy's Titans. Like, it's a little more difficult when you're on foot to take out the enemy Titans. So you can build your Titans either way, too. You can build your Titan as good at killing other Titans or good at killing people. So it's all situational. Oh, go ahead.
Some of the people were complaining about the graphics on this game, but it looked to me like the graphics looked good.
Yeah. The graphics are great. Yeah. It's on the Source Engine. I'm amazed at how good they got it to look on the Source
Engine. AAA titles coming on Source Engine, that's crazy, man.
Well, it was a new developer that did this.
Well, Respawn, but they're the guys from Call of Duty. They're the dudes that are left.
The main guys left, but they still have to make a development studio, hire people, right? Like, this is... Basically,
a lot less to do when you use somebody else's engine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still a lot of the same people that have been working on Call of Duty for years. That's why they called it Respawn, because they all left that and they're starting something new. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and this is the first game that they came out, and I think it's a success for them. They do say, like, I hate when they do this in movies and video games too, but there aren't very many examples. When they say the title of the game in the movie, or the title of the movie, you know, in the movie.
They did this on this one?
Yeah, because...
Titanfall means...
Yeah, Titanfall, because it drops from the sky. So, like, your little radio chick up in the corner will be like, Titanfall in 2 minutes. Yeah. It's like, come on. But I was thinking, after I heard this, I started thinking, like, you know, what if they did this in other games? You know, like, how fucking cheesy would that be? And so I started going through all the games and coming up with dialogue. Would you like to hear a few?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, all right. Oh, damn, look at all these zombies and the military left. I guess we're left for dead.
Didn't they do that because they're so, it's kind of a B-movie. They only mentioned
that. Yeah, they could get away with it, Dad.
Yeah.
I had a good one for Crisis. Yeah, let me see. What is
that? Crisis.
Yeah. Oh, shit, you know, like... there's a monster in this mountain, and the Koreans are trying to take it. This is a real crisis. Oh, shit. Now the monster's in New York. It looks like the United States has a crisis, too. Yes.
All right.
You could write script for porn. I think you hit that level.
I had a long conversation
with... Damn, you just took the word I was about to use. Wow, that guy looks muscular, and he's throwing a fireball. He must be a street fighter, too.
Wow. Go ahead, do Risk of Rain. Go ahead.
No, we'll see that.
Wait for shutting that one down. God. I was having a good time till you did that.
My bad.
Yeah, it's...
Should we go into news?
Sure. Let's talk about what's going on. So, I want to talk about this because, of course, I'm excited. Disney dropped $1 billion into the game division. This means a few things. You have a Fortune 500 company dropping a significant amount of money into gaming because obviously we harp on it all the time. It makes so much money. But also it's money well spent because Disney's fucking kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Disney's movies, Guardians of the Galaxy were amazing. Fucking everything they've been doing. Avengers is on point.
Yeah, because all the movies. Disney owns what? Marvel?
Marvel.
Don't they own ESPN?
Star Wars?
They own, like, all these companies.
Yeah. And it's all good. That's it. Well, I'm sure they fuck up. But generally, their frontline stuff has been stellar. It's such a good time to be a geek. Disney might as well be named fan service at this point. Because, man, it's so good. And all the things that I'm hearing about Star Wars are good things.
So, this is the J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, they got a title for it now, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Which doesn't make sense to me. I mean, didn't The Force wake up like 6 movies ago?
Yeah.
I'm just mad that they haven't done the Thrawn series. I'm just pissed about that.
I think the first one
is the Empire.
All three of them are named.
Can you imagine Benedict Cumberbatch as Thrawn?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thrawn was that blue dude in the trilogy. Who wrote
he doesn't read books.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I read that.
Timothy Zahn.
Oh, yeah, I did read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrawn, the blue alien...
Gotcha.
...admiral that, is, despite all the losses...
Super smart.
...despite all the losses the Empire went through, still manages to
if
almost...
If they would have done that, I would have been totally happy.
But can you picture Sherlock Holmes as that blue alien?
Oh, yeah, so.
Anyways.
Man, he's been stroking off to that.
Yeah, yeah. Just give me a low stroke. What else?
You guys have anything to say about that?
About Disney?
Yeah, Disney.
Has this translated... Disney? Obviously, this means new IP, right? You don't drop $1 billion.
Well, isn't Disney's thing...
I don't know if Disney's about new IP.
Yeah, they're not
They've
about
been picking
IP.
Up everybody else's old IP. Winners.
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, if they did a complete redo of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter or whatever, to me that would be like a new IP. They're going in a new direction.
Well, they're making a Battlefront game.
Yeah.
They scrapped a lot of it, and I don't know if they're actually... Okay, they scrapped what was being worked on, but there is a Battlefront game coming out, and the early screens look amazing. So it's an old IP, but it's theirs now. So I guess if you want to name it that new IP.
Because $1 billion, you're talking about 4 AAA titles, maybe?
You're talking good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff is what you're talking. Quick thing on Oculus. The main developer said that it's months, not years away. So that means 11.5 months from now. Hopefully, we'll see a consumer model.
And they're not even shipping the third dev kit, are they? That's just going to be in-house. Like, they aren't.
You can get even, there's a third dev kit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, there was Crystal Cove, and then there was some other weird one that started with a C. Something Bay. Crescent Bay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, third dev kit. But they aren't, you can't get that like you can in Crystal Cove. So, yeah, they got to be close. And I think Sony is going to beat them with their Morpheus, but I think the Oculus Rift is going to be better. I think it's going to have higher resolution and better screens in it.
Now, conversely to Disney... spending all the money correctly and doing right decisions, I feel like Microsoft's doing the opposite. They put $2 billion into Minecraft, which has to be declining. I mean, they're smart guys over there, but I don't know. Ever since Bill left, I don't know.
I think it's a...
What I'm talking about is they bought the Battletoads IP, or fucking trademark.
Did they buy it, or they just registered it?
They registered it.
Because it might have been, like, there is too. Like, it might have just been, okay, we're going to register this because nobody's done it yet.
Sure. It's just like, I don't know. It's like they're trying too hard to be the cool guy.
Fuck Battletoads, first of all.
Yeah, it's not a good game.
I know everybody thinks it's cool because it's, like, retro.
That one level with the fucking...
with the flying car.
That is too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's iconic, though. People recognize Battletoads.
They do.
Yeah. So,
which were a ripoff of...
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I mean, they'll sell copies of the game just on the name alone. So, you know, they're making money. They're a business.
I think Microsoft kind of has too much money to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So they, like, $2 billion sounds like a lot, but for Microsoft, is that really that much? You know, so I think we're looking at different economies of scale for Microsoft.
Sure. I thought this was a really interesting thing. Dragon Age, well, I guess it doesn't really apply to me. I was planning on playing this until this second right now. I haven't played Dragon Age 2, so I only played Origins, which is an amazing game. 2 sucked, nobody liked it. So
You didn't play it, so how do you know you don't like it?
Well, from the reviews. I almost always go with the reviews. I agree with them almost always. Cynic over here, Ken.
Well, because I played some of Dragon
Age. I can hear his opinions without words.
I just take everybody's word for it. I don't finish a game, give an opinion on it. What are we doing here?
You don't need to finish a game to give an opinion on it.
Yeah, you do.
So you have to finish Mass Effect to tell me I like it or I don't like it? Or can I say halfway through, I like Mass Effect? I don't know how the end happens, but I like Mass Effect. Is that not the case?
Hey, listen, somebody here didn't finish Spacehead 69.
Yeah, that's true.
That game doesn't have an ending. It does.
And somehow we got a review out of that. So
Titanfall, all he's done is PvE survivor mode, but we still got...
Oh, you know what? Interesting thing about
Spacehead
Titanfall.
Spacehead BJ69. Right?
Yeah, it was BJ69.
Callback. It's been a while.
Speaking of Titanfall, they did try to incorporate a story into that game, and it falls flat on its face.
Which is weird, because like that, you'd think it would have an awesome story. Like, mechs falling from the sky, and like pilots EVP. Jumping off the walls.
Maybe it does, but remember when like this game was coming out, and they said like they were kind of talking about that like it was a selling point, saying, hey, this game's going to be PvP, multiplayer, yet story is going to be involved in that.
Remember that?
That was like they said that point.
Story elements were going to be unlocked during the multiplayer play.
And everybody was kind of like, I don't know, man, scratching their heads. Like, I'm not sure about that. And then it comes out and it's like, yep, complete shit. I mean, basically all it is some stupid idiot up in the corner, like on the telecom, like just yapping away at some shit, like the whole time while you're fighting. You just wish they would shut up. And they're going on. And the dialogue is fucking terrible, cheesy.
So what about this? I think I talked about this. This was my idea. You finish a multiplayer map, but you win, and you unlock a cutscene that you can watch whenever you want.
I don't even think I've seen a cutscene. I've been.
But that would that work? Would you guys be cool with that?
No, I wouldn't care. I hate you. Totally don't care.
Yeah,
Chad, you're the only one. Okay, we're big Smite fans. Chad, you're the only one who played Nox, the new chick.
Yeah,
who is yet another chick that's blind? Like, she has metal in front of her eyes, but
she's like.
She's the goddess of night.
Yeah, so she doesn't need to see. Cause
yeah, sure.
Drybear's talked about this. Her kit is not very cohesive. Mm-hmm. So her ultimate links you with an enemy, and every time they do an ability, your abilities are reduced by 5 seconds, and it damages them. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's damaging them, but they don't want to do abilities, because if they do, it gives you...
They want to just run. And if they're smart, they will.
But she has no way to close the gap.
Yeah.
And then her two silences people.
Right.
So, like, it's like... two silences.
Oh, wow.
And then her three... And places darkness on you, and then your three explodes. If you've got darkness, it does double damage.
But so she's all... Real quick, a rundown on what she's supposed to be. She gets off on other people's abilities.
Yeah.
Her passive, she has these... candles that light up every time anybody around her, including herself, does an ability.
No, not her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's good in the duo lane, and she's great in the duo lane. Anytime, so, and then she gets a free ability every 4 or 5 abilities. Okay. So, you know, she's very mana conserving, I guess, or she has a lot of sustain. And then her ultimate goes off of abilities. Is that it? I thought there was another one.
No, so her one is removes any CC.
Right.
And will reflect one ability, but only has a one second window. Yeah. So it's really, like, it's nearly impossible to hit her one. It's like a way worse Nemesis shield. Right. Way worse.
Yeah.
So her one isn't very good. Her two has a 15 second cooldown. So you can't just 2-3. Like, you can't.
Which is what they intended.
Exactly. And then her 3 only has like a 5 second cooldown, so you're using that a bunch. So it's your primary attack, but it's kind of like a Kronos explosion where it's got a delay.
Right. It's hard to hit.
So she just, her kit's just all over the place. Right. There's no way to, like, she needs to get sprint or something to get anywhere closer. But then
I think there's potential there, but she's just not put together yet.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter for the first 2 weeks because it's not into competitive play. So. This is what these 2 weeks are for.
It's just weird that you wouldn't think a character would get this far with just this messed up.
Yeah, they're either overpowered or underpowered, and like I said, this is what these 2 weeks are for.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a new god coming out pretty soon. I think since it was so quick, I think AO the redo is coming out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thought you already had one.
They did. Ao Kuang as a Kolkolkin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now they're taking Ao and making Ao again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Kind of same thing they did with Sun Wukong.
Okay. That going to do it for news?
Yeah.
Chad, you want to talk about your fucks not given?
So we posted up.
Who?
We, collectively, as a group.
Were you sitting on my lap? Because I didn't notice.
We posted up the PAX swag giveaway.
Right.
You made a discussion thread. I mean, I made a discussion thread on this, right?
Yeah.
We're going to do one more week of this. If you're interested, put your name in the hat. We will... Should we actually pull it out during next week's?
Yeah, sure. How many names could there be?
200, 300 maybe?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, we will be giving that away. That's probably like 8 shirts maybe and some other paraphernalia.
People really like the pictures.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So yeah.
You would know this. If,
you know. No, I check it every day, so. So yeah, that's where we're at there.
Cool. Ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Should we talk about next week? What we got going on next week?
Well, one more announcement. We're trying to hit 300 subs on YouTube. Little goal we set for ourselves. Once we hit that, we're going to do a little bit of a giveaway. More details to follow, but just going to put that out there. So, you know, spread the word, invite your friends, subscribe, all that shit.
And what is the YouTube? DL Gaming, right? One word.
DL yeah. Gaming, one word. Yes, yeah. It is. I mean, if you're on our Steam group or if you're on our website, it's all linked.
Yep.
Okay.
Should we talk about next week?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm going to be out of town most of next week, so I'll be on a shitty computer. But it will play WoW, and the WoW expansion is coming out this week. So that's kind of what I'm going to be playing this week. So that's
what I got. I'm going to try to win one game of Civ. I do. I'm kind of hooked, honestly.
But it's still not as good as... Infinite.
No, Endless Legend. Thing that's keeping me away from Endless Legend is learning it. I've already learned Civ. I never really put in the time to learn Endless because they have some out-of-the-box things. Civ I'm used to, so I just kind of picked up and played. And there's a challenge there, you know? I tried to go as a peacenik this week. It didn't work. I got fucking stomped by the mill. Fucking Brazilian bastards. I was so mad because I had 2 favors built up with them. I was giving them all my shit so that I could continue my research, and they just show up with fucking tanks and guns. I was pissed.
Okay.
Wow.
How about you? What are you playing, Bob?
Probably more Titanfall. I don't know. I've been in a mode where all I want to do is play competitive PvP. Been getting into a little Awesomenauts too. But one game I'm definitely going to get deeper into is Abyss Odyssey. I think I mentioned this last week. This is a game by one of my favorite developers, Ace. And it's, I don't know, some people described it, the combat as like Super Smash Brothers. I don't really see that. But it is kind of a roguelike. It's got that same kind of, yeah.
Emil's got wood right now.
I don't think I've ever, Super I think Smash you guys would Brothers really like roguelike? This game too. Well, I think you would because you like the roguelikes. I don't think there's a multiplayer element to it. Yeah.
How could there be Smash Brothers then?
I don't know. I think I've played Smash Brothers like once or twice. I have like no experience in console games.
I think Emilio's going to buy the Wii U just to get Super Smash Brothers.
I'm taking investors. I think the whole package, the game plus the controllers plus the system is like $3.99. It's kind of steep. But you're getting 4 controllers, 1 system, 1 game. It's $100 each, basically.
You're not getting any of the laptop, tablet controllers.
I think it comes with one of those.
Oh, you need so many controllers for.
You need old school controllers to play. You need GameCube controllers to play Smash Brothers.
You need friends to play that game too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're taking friend requests also.
You can get friends for.
That game is only multiplayer?
No, you can single player, but the fun part is
okay.
It's like playing a Shoot party game. Yeah. It's like playing a party game by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You can get friends and teach it for like $75.
Yeah, okay. And they'll do crazy things with you too.
Super. Okay.
Titties?
Let's get a better one.
Titties!
Okay, better.
Titties!